Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 12. Listen for God's word. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is God's word for us this morning.
Two chapters later, we find Jesus sharing these words with his disciples. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll never forget the one and only time I ever attempted to make fried chicken. It was time-consuming and messy, and our house smelled like grease for at least a week afterwards. That lingering smell, more than anything else, convinced me that I was willing to pay for somebody else to cook fried chicken if I wanted to eat it. Smells often have a way of lingering, don't they? Which is sometimes not so good. But other times it can be quite pleasant. Think of the smell of cookies or pie or fresh bread baking. Think of the smells that come with the holidays, the spicy evergreen scent of Christmas, the fresh floral fragrance of Easter lilies. Now that the weather is getting warmer, more people are grilling outdoors, the smell of which always makes me think of summer and picnics, no matter what the temperature is outside. When I was a kid, I knew it was going to be a good day when I walked into the house after school and smelled popcorn. But smells aren't the only things that linger. Feelings, experiences, and memories do too. Ever have a strange dream at night, and when you wake up, that unsettled feeling stays with you through the day? When someone we love goes away or dies, we often live between two worlds, the world of our memories and the present day. Powerful experiences like an amazing concert or a moving worship service can stay with us for days. I always know when I've had a good break or a relaxing vacation when I actually look forward to returning home again, re-entering daily life and getting back to work, because when I get back, I'm bringing with me not just some souvenirs from my trip, but a spirit of rest and calm and renewed focus on what really matters in life. That spirit of rest and calm and renewed focus is exactly what we've been working on this Lenten season through the practice of Sabbath. You may remember that 6 weeks ago, we introduced the practice of keeping Sabbath, and we borrowed the Jewish ritual of lighting candles to mark the beginning of our Sabbath time. We also talked about the importance of developing margins of space and time in our lives, just like it would be very difficult to read a book that had no margins. It's very hard to live life without them, too. We need that blank space and that downtime to rest, to breathe, to recenter and organize our lives. We also learned that keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Although it's the longest commandment, and some would say the most important, it is also the one we are the most casual about breaking. Most of us would never think of planning ahead of time to lie or steal or murder someone, but we regularly plan our week so full of activities and obligations that we don't have time to relax or go to church or take a break from the daily grind. This results in all kinds of physical and faith fatigue, as well as feeling disconnected from God, from those we love, and from what's most important in our lives. Over the past four Sundays, we have continued to light the Sabbath candles as we broke down Sabbath keeping into four parts: stopping, resting, embracing, and feasting. In order to keep Sabbath, the first thing we have to do is stop or cease, which is exactly what the Hebrew word Shabbat means. We stop working. We stop trying to be productive and in control. We step out of the fast pace and hectic routines of life. We stop in the name of love so that we can be still and know that God is God. Once we've stopped, we can rest physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, trusting that for this one day, God will hold our lives and our world in his hands, and that it will be okay. During Sabbath time, we intentionally choose not to do some things, so that we can choose to do some other things, to embrace the people and activities that refresh our bodies, renew our minds, gladden our hearts, and feed our spirits, to embrace those things that bring us closer to God, one another, and the world God loves. In order to be God-huggers, we embrace the values that God embraces, values like love and peace, justice and joy, hope and abundant life. And finally, Sabbath is not supposed to be somber and boring. Sabbath is a time for feasting, for friends and family and fun. Just as we feast at this table every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, so Sabbath is an invitation to feast on God's amazing grace and goodness, especially as we find it in beauty, in art and music, in nature, in friendship and worship. As we keep the Sabbath, we learn that it is ultimately God who keeps us. But as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. Whether it's a good book, or a beautiful piece of music, a massage, or a feast, a relaxing weekend, or a dream vacation, they don't last forever. And so it is with the Sabbath day. Monday morning comes whether we want it to or not. Our busy lives are there waiting for us to pick them up again and jump back into the rat race. However, for people of faith, this is not as depressing as it may sound. In fact, one of the greatest blessings of Sabbath is not simply the day itself, but the wonderful discovery that once you get into a rhythm of Sabbath keeping, it lingers throughout the whole week. That Sabbath spirit of rest and confident trust in God goes with us into the new week, grounding us in the security of God's love for us, giving us strength to face each new day, filling us with hope, because we know that the Sabbath day will come around again in just 6 days' time. At our session meeting this past Tuesday, I shared the following poem by Wendell Berry. He writes, "Whatever is foreseen in joy must be lived out from day to day. Vision held open in the dark by our 10,000 days of work. Harvest will fill the barn, for that the hand must ache, the face must sweat. And yet no leaf or grain is filled by work of ours. The field is tilled and left to grace, that we may reap. Great work is done while we're asleep. When we work well, a Sabbath mood rests on our day and finds it good. When we work well, a Sabbath mood rests on our day and finds it good. When we keep the Sabbath, we often find that not only is one day good and holy, but that Sabbath spirit makes every day good and holy. Veteran Sabbath keepers will tell you that far more than just one day, Sabbath changes their whole week. They are more productive, more aware of God's presence and blessings, more connected to the people they love, and better able to navigate life's ups and downs, knowing God is with them every step of the way. No one exemplifies this better than Jesus himself. Time and again, throughout his very busy and intense ministry, we see Jesus going off by himself, withdrawing to a quiet place to pray and rest in God's presence. Being a devout Jew, we know that Jesus kept the Sabbath, worshiping God in the synagogue, studying the scriptures, and feasting with friends. Jesus certainly challenged the religious authorities of his day with some new ways of keeping the Sabbath, like eating with sinners and healing the sick and the lame. But in doing so, Jesus was showing us that rather than rules that get in the way of God's purposes, we are to embrace the things that God embraces: love, acceptance, healing, justice, life. More than anything else, it was the time spent in God's presence through worship and prayer, Sabbath stillness, and joyful feasting that prepared and empowered Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey to face the final days of his life on earth, to complete the work that God had sent him to do, which is where we find Jesus today in our two scripture lessons. First, we heard the familiar story of the crowds gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover festival and how they greeted Jesus with palm branches and praises. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. A few days later, we find Jesus and his disciples sharing a meal together in an upper room. Jesus knew what was going to happen next, so he took this opportunity to prepare his disciples for what was coming, to remind them of their calling, to encourage and assure them of their identity as beloved children of God, and not just his disciples, but as his friends, and finally to give them his peace. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus said. God will send the Holy Spirit to abide with you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not be troubled, and do not let your hearts be afraid. Just as Jesus' time with God fortified him for his ministry and sustained him through his final days, so also the disciples' time with Jesus would fortify them to do God's work in the world, and the Spirit's presence would sustain them in the days and weeks and years to come. In the same way, keeping the Sabbath, stopping, resting, embracing, and feasting on God's grace and goodness fortifies and sustains us for our daily living so that we can do not only our own work, but God's work in the world. We are not called to go to the cross and sacrifice our lives for the salvation of the world. Jesus already did that. But we are called to follow in Jesus' footsteps of love and self-sacrifice, offering our gifts and our lives for God's saving purposes, for healing and wholeness, for justice and peace in this world. In order to do that, we need to spend time with our Creator, resting in God's goodness, embraced by Jesus, sustained by the Spirit. We need to carry the spirit of our Sabbath time with God into the rest of our days and weeks so that we can remember all that God has done for us and so that we can then live our lives in grateful response to God's amazing grace. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have a wonderful way of bringing their Sabbath observance to a close each week, a simple ritual called the Havdalah, which is done when the first three stars appear in the sky in the evening, which marks the end of the day. As we will do at the end of our worship service today, they light a candle, bless a cup of wine, and savor the fragrance of sweet spices. Just as the spicy aroma lingers in the air around us, we are to bring the aroma of Sabbath into our week, that it may continue to nourish us in body and spirit, and remind us of God's presence with us, no matter where life's journey takes us. We have spent the 6 weeks of Lent learning how to practice Sabbath. Our hope is that this will not just be a Lenten experiment for you, but something that you will actively and intentionally work to incorporate into your lives throughout the year. But now our Sabbath sojourn has come to an end, and we must enter a new week, a holy week, a week fraught with tension and discord, pain and suffering. A week that will ultimately end in resurrection and new life if we are willing to follow Jesus' footsteps to the cross. As Jesus said to his disciples, "Rise, it is time to be on our way." Amen.